Thank you. My presentation is on reducing phosphorus mobilization from agricultural soils to flood water under anaerobic conditions. So I will introduce my co-authors. Dr. Don Fayton is a professor at the University of Manitoba Department of Soil Science, and Dan Rowe was a research associate, and Kumudu Jayaratna was a master's student, both attached to the University of Winnipeg Department of Environmental Studies and Sciences. So first let me tell you why we did this study. In Manitoba, most agricultural areas are prone to flooding, and this happens during the spring snowmelt as well as during the summer with heavy rains. And there are enough evidence indicating that prolonged flooding makes the soil conditions anaerobic or reducing, which increase phosphorus release to flood water. And if that happens, holding water back on agricultural land, which is supposed to be a beneficial management practice because it reduces erosion losses and the losses of particulate phosphorus, that may not be beneficial if anaerobic conditions release phosphorus to flood water, which may even contribute to increased phosphorus loading in watersheds and eutrophication in lakes. So this is a concern in Manitoba because we have the Lake Winnipeg, which is the 10th largest surface water body in the world, and it has been proclaimed as the threatened lake of the year in 2013 by the Global Nature Fund. And during the last 20 years or so, the frequency as well as the size of algal blooms have doubled, and that is mainly because of increased phosphorus loading to lake water. So the research that has been done on phosphorus release or redox-induced phosphorus release from flooded soils has been mostly with acidic soils, where iron is the dominant retention. But very little research has been done with the neutral to alkaline soils, the typical of Manitoba as well as Great Plains. So our previous research using alkaline soils from Manitoba indicated that both the patterns of phosphorus release as well as magnitudes of phosphorus release with duration of flooding was highly variable, and it depended on soil properties as well as flooding conditions. So we do need more information, especially with different soil types, on how these redox conditions release phosphorus depending on the soil properties, and that we need that information to develop beneficial management practices to reduce phosphorus losses from agricultural soils to waterways. So we did this study to examine and compare the magnitudes as well as temporal patterns of phosphorus release from alkaline Manitoba soils and the simulated flooded conditions in the field. So we did this study using field microcosms and 12 soils from Manitoba, and soils were collected from different locations, and it included the Red River Valley and the Interlake region. Both these regions are prone to flooding and also highly intensive agricultural areas. And we had soils with a wide variation of soil properties. And so we collected the soils from different locations, but we brought them back into one common field site for the study, and that was at the University of Manitoba. So we packed these soils under field moist conditions into microcosms, and during packing, we installed Rhizone Flex soil solution samplers at 5 centimeter depth, and we did that to extract the poor water during flooding. And then we flooded these soils in microcosms with the reverse osmosis water to a water height of 10 centimeters. So this shows the layout of the experiment. So we had 12 soils with 4 replicates arranged in a randomized complete block design. And so these were the microcosms, so they were buried about 15 centimeters deep, and the Rhizone Flex soil solution samples that we installed. So during this flooding period of 8 weeks, we measured the redox potential every week, and we also took pore water samples and flood water samples once a week and analyzed for dissolved reactive phosphorus, pH, total dissolved calcium, magnesium, iron and manganese. We also took the soil sample after flooding, that means after the 8 week of flooding period, we collected soil samples from each microcosm, and the soil samples before and after flooding were analyzed for oils and phosphorus, a single point phosphorus adsorption capacity at 150 milligrams per liter, and mellic extractable phosphorus, calcium, magnesium, iron and manganese. Now I'm not going to show you all the results, I'm going to show you just the flood water dissolved reactive phosphorus concentrations and how they are related to some of the soil properties because of the limitation time. Now, this table shows some of the important properties of the 12 soils. As you could see, texturally we had high variation. Clay content was like, it varied from about 10-15% to above 70%. So this was a very heavy clay soil. The pH, not so much of a variability because most of our soils were neutral to alkaline except for one soil which had a pH of 6.4. Organic matter percentage, cation exchange capacity, oils and phosphorus, and single point bioadsorption capacity were highly variable, so we had a soils with high variability in those properties. Now this figure shows the redox potential changes with the days of flooding, weeks of flooding, so this is in really number of days here. But as you could see, the redox potential increased as soon as we started, as soon as we flooded the soil. Within about 7 days, we could see a substantial increase in redox potential. By about 21 days, most of the soils had redox potentials below 100 millivolts, except one or two, which took a longer time. But by the end of 56 days, all soils had redox potential below 100 millivolts. The 100 millivolts is considered as a redox potential threshold for ferric to ferrous reduction, especially at this soil pH level. And here I am showing the change in flood water dissolved reactive phosphorus concentration only for the coarse textured soils. So I have only loamy sand to sandy loam soils here. And as you can see, there was high variability in the response to flooding in the release of the reactive dissolved reactive phosphorus into flood water. In one soil, we could see a very rapid increase. In two soils, it increased and then after reached the peak and then decreased. And in one soil, it was more or less stable. Similar results with medium textured soil, loam to clay loam, high variability. And this is for the clay soils, or very fine textured soils. In one soil, we could see a continuous increase even up to the 8th week of flooding, and two soils with moderate increase. And these two soils, it showed a slight decrease in dissolved reactive phosphorus concentration in flood water with time of flooding. And those two are very heavy clay soils containing over about 60% clay. Now, this is a graph showing the relative increase in dissolved reactive phosphorus in flood water. Now, what we did was we calculated the relative increase by dividing the dissolved reactive phosphorus concentration at a given time by the initial concentration, that was one day after flooding. So when you compare the dissolved reactive phosphorus concentration increase compared to the first day of flooding, we could see how it increases with time of flooding. If it is above 1, that means you have an increase in dissolved reactive phosphorus concentration in flood water. If it is less than 1, then that means the DRP concentration is less than after 1 day of flooding. So in most soils, what we saw was a increase with time of flooding and then a decrease after reaching a peak, except for few soils where you could see that it did not increase but initially increased because of the dissolution maybe of phosphate compounds, but then over time it decreased. So just for comparison, I'm going to show you the relative increase in dissolved reactive P in poor water and how that changed with time. But what we could see here is, irrespective of the soil, except for one of the soils here at the end, in most other soils, the dissolved reactive phosphorus concentration in poor water continued to increase with time of flooding. So it even reached up to about 10. So this means a tenfold increase in dissolved reactive phosphorus concentration in poor water compared to the initial DRP concentration. So even though the DRP concentration in poor water increased, it did not come to the flood water. So during that transport from the 5 centimeter depth up to the flood water, maybe it got precipitated or absorbed, and the flood water DRP concentration changes were different to that of poor water. So we looked at the relationships between the relative increase in DRP and soil properties. Poor water DRP concentration did not show any significant relationship with soil properties. Irrespective of all the soil properties, we could see that it behaved in a very similar manner. But the relative increase in DRP in flood water showed a significant negative correlation with phosphorus adsorption capacity as well as molecularly extractable magnesium, and a significant, highly significant positive correlation with degree of phosphorus saturation. So which means if the degree of phosphorus saturation is high, more phosphate get released to flood water. So to summarize, phosphorus released to poor water and flood water varied substantially from one soil to the other. Generally, the release of increasing quantities of P started after about 21 days of flooding. And poor water DRP concentrations continue to increase with flooding in almost all soils, but flood water DRP often decreased after reaching a peak. So when we look at the relationships with the DRP concentration in poor water, it was not related to soil properties, but the relative increase in DRP in flood water was negatively correlated with P50 and molecular magnesium, and positively correlated with degree of phosphorus saturation. So the results suggest that reabsorption or precipitation occurred with the release P, decreasing the dissolved reactive phosphorus concentration in flood water, and this reaction is soil dependent. So our conclusion, as a management practice, we can see that draining water from fields within the first 3 weeks after flooding would minimize redox-induced phosphorus loading to flood water, especially in soils with low P adsorption capacities that are susceptible to large releases of phosphorus under anaerobic conditions. So I would like to acknowledge the Manitoba Conservation and Water Stewardship and Environment Canada for funding the research. Thank you.